lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
T-Shavs, we are here. Episode 128, the highly, highly, highly anticipated MotoGP review show. Half-yearly review show.
Yeah, been looking forward to this one, James.
This has been one we've been, had in the works for a while.
Yes, it's been one hell of a year so far, halfway through. We're on summer break.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned last week, this is one of the only weekends of the whole year that there's no F1 or MotoGP on. Yeah. So we thought we would film a half-yearly show, and a lot of people have been asking about it. So, yeah, super excited. We're going to go through best race, biggest surprise, performance of the year, fraud of the year, most importantly.
Yeah.
We're going to compare our pre-season notes, predictions. And see how we're tracking, but it's exciting.
And I can't even really... you were rattling off a few of the predictions, but I can't really remember many of them. So it's going to be very interesting listening to all this. I'm very excited.
Yeah, very excited.
And I'm sure everyone listening had their own predictions, so it'll be interesting to see how they stack it all up as well. So it's good. It's a bit of a different episode, I guess. We're going to be going through each round so far. We'll have a look at, obviously, the point standings. And then, as you said, all the best race fraud of the year so far. And... yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. It's good to look back.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting first half of the year for MotoGP. It's been dominated by a certain individual, Marc Marquez, and I think there's no surprise there. He's just a superhuman effort.
Correct.
And I think for me, and we're gonna go through bigger surprises, but yeah, Bagnaia's lack of form, Bezzecchi's lack of form, and then turning it around for podium pace and winning a race. And then we've got Alex Marquez as well. I mean, where does this come from?
Yep.
You know, it's been a very up and down first half of the season. And a lot of our predictions were way off, really way off. And I think a lot of people have been in the same boat as that.
Definitely. Shout out to just quickly motorheaven.com.au. Check out everything related to motorcycles. They are obviously the best in the business. A massive online store there where you can get, all your big brands, Shelly, Alpine Stars, Dineasy, Five Gloves, all your parts. And T-Shavs, Bike Heaven is online. It's up, it's running, it's doing its things, making sales.
It's been online for a week now, hasn't it?
Yep, so they're absolutely killing it.
They've had a big first week.
Big first week, so
get on board, guys. Free delivery over $150. And as always, thank you for the love and support. YouTube, like, subscribe, helps us a lot. And also Instagram, keep following, keep liking, keep commenting. We love the hot takes. And then if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Music, please give us a 5-star review. It helps us get up the ranks on that as well. So... mm. More viewers, more content, more better.
Yep, more better, mate. Mate, let's get into it. MotoGP.
No time like the present, James.
No time like the present. Now, I do want to kind of go through. We normally start off with our top 10. So I was like, maybe let's go start off with our top 10 in the standings so far.
Great call.
It's no surprise. Mr. Marc Marquez is dominating the championship on 381 points with 8 wins and 10 podiums. So, again, huge. Alex Marquez, second with 261 points with 1 win, 7 podiums. Bagnaia on 213 points, 1 win, 7 podiums. So, that's actually an interesting stat. Like, they're not that far off, but Bagnaia is just, when he's had a bad race, he's had a really bad race.
True.
You know? Bezzecchi moved up to fourth with 156 points, 1 win and 3 podiums. Digia is fifth, 142 points, 0 wins, 2 podiums. Morbidelli, 139 points, 0 wins, 2 podiums. Acosta, 124 points, 0 wins, 1 podium. Zarco, 8th. 109 points, 1 win and
2 podiums.
Ninth, Quartararo, 102 points, 0 wins, 1 podium. And
that was 8th. Aldeguer, 9th.
Sorry.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. Aldeguer, 10th.
It is hard to read.
It is. It's so hard to read. 97 points, 0 wins, and 1 podium.
There's dyslexia and autism over
here. It's so true. So it's... look, obviously the main thing is Marc Marquez is just dominating. Like, you can just see 8 wins and 10 podiums. Like, it's just...
yeah, the two things that really stand out for me in that top 10 is obviously Alex Marquez. He's been one of the biggest surprises for me this year. Mm. And obviously he's had a rough couple of rounds lately, but he'll come back strong. And then obviously Acosta up there in seventh. I mean, I didn't realize that he would be outscoring the likes of Zarco and Quartararo as well. So it's always interesting seeing that.
I guess with Acosta, like he'll just pull a sixth and a seventh, and that's kind of a shit day for him. But he's pulling points where, like, bro, the Yamaha and Hondas, when it's a bad day, they're 18th.
Yeah.
They're crashing, you know, so that's the difference.
Give us a bottom five as well, James, while you're there, because that's always the... well, probably don't include your test rider out of that, though.
Okay, I just want to mention this. So there's 27 riders here, and last is Aleix Espargaró. He's only done like one race. But 26 is actually Somkiat Chandra with 1 point. So you look at like Augusto Fernandez, he's got 6 points in 24th. You've got Pol Espargaró, 23rd and 6 points. You've got Lorenzo Stavadori, 8 points in 22nd. So then you've got Jorge Martin, 21st, obviously on the Aprilia with 9 points. Nakagami, again, another test rider, 10 points in 20th. Mir, 19th on 32 points. Alex Rin, 18th on 42 points. And Bastianini, 17th with 49 points.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the Oliveira, he's had an absolute shocker first half of the season.
25th.
We don't even talk about Chandra because I don't think we'll see him back on the bike this year.
Chandra?
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone for the year. I think he'll be forcefully samurai'd out of that seat and there'll be some sort of change. That's my opinion. I just don't think he's up for it. He's just not up for a MotoGP standard.
That would be huge. Well, bro. He's like a second or more off the pace in qualifying and he's convincingly getting beaten by all the test riders. Mm. Like, where else more? Whatever proof do you need?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is unfortunate, but it's clearly they're not going down this Asian route again for next year. It's obviously not working. They missed out Nigura. He didn't want to do it. And then it looks like, you know, they're going to do a Diego Marrero or someone from Moto2.
Exactly right. So, do you want me to start us off in round one?
Yeah, let's go.
So round one, James and I were there in Thailand in Buriram. What a weekend it was. I mean, we had an unbelievable week in Thailand. It was so amazing to go in an overseas Grand Prix. And guys, if you're listening, just do it.
Yeah.
Buriram, if you're nervous about it, it is an unbelievably good town. So welcoming. You know, the food was great. There wasn't too much to do, but at the end of the day, you're at the track all day. You go out for a nice dinner at night. You're mingling with a lot of people who are from overseas and like-minded. And it was such a good trip. And we're dying to get back there. Hopefully, we'll be back there next year. We'll see how we go. So, Marc Marquez started the season with dominant form, winning both the sprint and main race. And it was a dominant form, wasn't it? I mean, he closely followed by his brother Alex and Bang Nye, but they just couldn't match his pace. And James, you were up there in the Marquez stand, winning wild scene. So Ducati's early strength was obviously clear. Yamaha, Honda, locked front run-up speed, whatever that means, James. And then Mark's tire management and calmness under pressure was the tone of the season coming up. As I'm reading James's beautiful notes here.
Yeah. Well, it's true. Like, it's actually amazing looking back to it. And then we were there for that. Like, we didn't realize the run Mark was obviously going to have as well. So it was kind of, I didn't really think about how big of a moment that was. And then he obviously
massive
had the
moment.
Tire pressure issues, had to go back behind Alex Marquez. So it was just, yeah, incredible. Incredible start to the season. And just, he's very good at that track anyway. But to be there and see that, and then obviously being in the Marquez stand was, yeah, it was a very, very cool experience.
It was so cool. So cool. And yeah, I'd love to go back. I mean, it was, we were nervous about going to this place because we were like, there's just nothing to do. There's nowhere to see, but there's so much to do. So much to see. Super fun. The people there are amazing.
People were awesome.
And dude, you know what? Like, nothing against Phillip Island, but to stay in a week down at Phillip Island and buy tickets, and it probably wouldn't be that much, you know, cheaper than going to Thailand for a week.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
The only pain in the ass is you got to fly into Bangkok and it's either an hour or 2 hour flight to Buriram, which is like $70. I mean, not a big deal. Or you got to drive about six or seven hours, which, yeah. We'd probably, you know what, if I had my time again, I reckon we would land in Bangkok, hire a car and drive and just have a good time going through like the desert of Thailand.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And it was really cool to see real Thailand. Like, obviously, we went to Phuket afterwards, but seeing real Thailand and like real Thai people, Like not a lot of places I spoke English, and all we heard was how bad Burien was, and it was our favorite thing of the whole trip was how much we loved it. It was the best place ever.
Yeah,
a couple of wild nights, but that was good.
It was really good, really good.
Mate, round two. Actually, one thing off round one is that was where the massive shock of Alex Marquez came in. He was quick in testing, but we didn't realize he was actually going to go 2-2.
Yeah,
you know, so that was a huge shock, and you know, we thought, okay, it's round one. There's always wacky results. And then round two happens, mate. Argentina, Marc Marquez continued his perfect start for another double victory. He handled tricky mixed weather conditions better than anyone. Alex finished second again, and Bagnaia stayed consistent. Rivals struggled to respond, ChatGPT. Marquez pulled clear in the standings and went 1-1 again.
Looked unshakable, didn't
he? Yeah, unshakable. Oh, shit, ass notes. But yeah, it was great. It was good to be back in Argentina for that one, but there's just no one stopping Marc Marquez, really.
Yeah, it was, I'm not going to say a rememberable weekend. Argentina's always a really tough one because it is in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
and we don't see as much, I think, track time as we do on other tracks. For me, we were in Thailand, so you got to see everything. And then Argentina, all I remember was another dominant victory for Marquez.
Yeah.
And Bezzecchi running wide into the first corner from memory.
Yeah,
and
I reckon he
did.
Going
to the back of the pack after that. So, yeah.
And that's, you know, and this is obviously when all the Jorge Martin stuff was, I think, slowly coming out. And, you know, we're looking at the Aprilia like, what the hell is... Oh, I might have been a bit before Jorge Martin. Yeah. But we're looking at the Aprilia going, you know, what's Bez doing? What's happening? So it was... Very interesting times, weird times.
Weird times.
Mate, best race of the season so far, what do you got?
My best race of the season was Silverstone.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I think it, you know, such a wacky, wacky result. Quartararo looked for all money to win, and then, you know, and then Bezzecchi, the shock of Bezzecchi winning that race. I mean, just incredible. And then Zarco finishing second. And the mixed conditions, we didn't know what was going on. We didn't know Marquez crashed and then got back on the bike, then he got red flagged, and... I mean, it really, really had a bit of everything that round. So there's our ringtone in the background. But for me, James, she hasn't been that many outstanding races this year so far. And I'm hoping the second half of the season will turn that around because we've just seen such a dominance from Marc Marquez. What was your favorite race?
We have seen dominance from Marc Marquez. I've kind of got two. I couldn't split them. I'll come back at you and say Mugello because of... The whole weekend, Marquez in reds, getting booed. And then he has this awesome battle with Pecco Bagnaia for a couple of laps. Breaks him. Bagnaia then doesn't even make the podium. Digia makes the podium. But I thought it was great to finally see them come to a head. But he just got broken.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mugello, amazing track. The fans were back. I thought it was just an awesome, awesome, awesome event. And then Mark going 1-1, obviously, again, was just... Like, amazing to watch. Amazing.
That first 5 laps, 10 laps of that race were the best all year.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Was, that's why I had to put it in there.
Yeah, it was finally seeing Bagnaia just, you know, he just doesn't have the pace this year, but he just tried everything.
Yep.
He really did try everything, and kudos to him in that race because he needed to. He just needs to keep the pressure piling on because you looked at, you know, we're going to talk about Jerez in a second, but you looked at Jerez and the pressure with Marquez behind you, then he crashes. That can happen. He's still human, you know, so...
Yeah, exactly. I want to add in, though, Le Mans with the crazy conditions, starting on different wets, slicks, Zarco winning, Alex Marquez obviously crashing. Mark, I think, just takes the podium. It was just... It was a wild, wild, wild race.
Anyone could have won that race with the right strategy. And
I think if Jack Miller stayed on, he would have won. He was in prime position.
I know. But Zarco, One Tooth Dad was there. Unbelievable.
One Tooth Dad, that's right. I forgot about that.
That was crazy. I think his dad had only been in one Grand Prix or something crazy.
It was the first one.
What a year he's had, 25.
Right. And then, the episode previous to this, we went on a bit of a Zarco rant. So it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. What do you got for round three, mate?
All right. COTA in the US. And always a... you know, always a great circuit for MotoGP, a real modern track that we're still getting used to. But obviously, Marquez dominance there in the past. So, Marc Marquez won the sprint, but Bagnaia responded in the main race, James.
How did he do that?
He won.
Yep.
He won.
Yep.
First win of the season, which we thought this might be a bit of a turning point, didn't we? So, Alex stayed in the mix while Yamaha continued to fade. It was a critical early win for Bagnaia, though Marquez still led the championship.
That's so funny. But yeah, obviously the whole reason why Bags won was because Marquez made that silly mistake. And it was kind of mixed conditions even through that. It was a little bit damp. He went on the inside of that.
On the curb.
There on the curb and lost the front, which, you know, well, kind of, I was personally just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
I really saw something like that happen. So,
bit of a crystal ball moment.
A little bit of a crystal ball moment. I just don't know if I set it out in the universe. But, you know, Bagnaia winning, we just thought, okay, like, maybe he's got something here. And it was just crazy. His one win actually for all years come at Kota, which is so funny. But, you know, it's for Marquez, like, he was fucking disappointed after that. And you could tell. And he just owns that whole weekend. But it was just a dumb Mark Marquez mistake at that point, which he's done two now at Kota.
It was, yeah. The end of the back straight was the last one for him. So, yeah, it was a silly mistake, but kept it in the mix. And I think, and as I said a couple of weeks ago on the pod, I was like, there's nothing more than I'd rather see Marquez win, but there's nothing more than I'd rather see him crash because it keeps it nice and interesting because he is dominating.
He is dominating. And another funny thing from that race is he got back on that bike and then still repassed Chantra and he didn't even have a peg.
That's crazy.
And he was pulling in heaters as well. Like, he's just a nutcase.
Yeah, he is.
This leads me on to one of my questions for you, though. Will Pecco win another race this year?
Yeah, I think we touched on this a couple of weeks ago. I don't see it happening. Maybe a sprint if it gets lucky. But, you know, with Bezzecchi back in form, with arguably Jorge Martin coming back into form as well.
Yeah.
Digia's got to show something. I mean, there's just too many in the mix, isn't there?
Well, yeah, Digia's got to show something, 100%. But, like, bro, he got like 17th in Bruno in normal conditions.
He was nowhere all weekend. Very strange. Very strange. On the GP25. Yes. Took the words out of my mouth. So, yeah, for me, there's just something not working for Pecco. But, you know, going through these results, I mean, obviously, you know, he's been there and thereabouts. It's just that mid-season, that, you know, round 6 or 7 and 8, you know, he just really struggled. He's shown some sort of light. There's some sort of light at the end of the tunnel for him. But, you know, he's still multiple tenths a lap behind Marc Marquez.
He's still, like, I realistically, I don't know if I've even seen him winning a race. Like, if he's going to win a race fair and square, it was probably Mugello. And Mugello, he said, if I'm not winning Mugello, I'm not winning races and I'm not winning this championship. And he didn't even make the podium.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, obviously, things can change. Like, he's a two-time world champion. Like, he is good enough to do it. But if he's still fighting a fit Marc Marquez, who is just seems like he's getting better and better every round, I don't know what you can do. Like, I really don't know what you can do.
You just got to wait for a mistake.
So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So, I'm looking at either, like, a Marc Marquez, Showy, Rossi AGV, or controversially, like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Showy, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard, like, there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want, brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
He's not beating Marquez on raw pace, that's for sure.
Nah, that's a good point. What are you up to? Round 4, Jerez. Alex Marquez stole the spotlight T-Shabs at Jerez with a win. Marc Marquez obviously crashed that race as well in fighting for 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, he went back and then was following Bagnaia through that famous left-hander after the hairpin, which is his corner. He was, I think he was a tenth or two quicker than anyone else all weekend. and they're just too confident on the front end and crash. So
Was great to see Alex Marquez win. The scenes were unbelievable. Who would have thought that? And we were talking about like another Marquez mistake, like maybe the championship is on here and how wrong we were. He hasn't made a mistake since, basically.
Well, that was the turning point. He crashed in Coda and then crashed in Jerez. And then I don't think he's really made that many mistakes
got
since.
Got lucky in Silverstone. And that
got
was
lucky,
it.
Very lucky in Silverstone, yes.
So, but it was awesome to see Alex Marquez win on that Gresini. Fermín Aldeguer had a great ride. I think he got like fifth and in that race. And it was the first round where we saw Quartararo do that amazing pole lap where we thought, fuck, you know, Yamaha might be on here. You got pole and crashed in the sprint, I think.
The GP24s around that track seem to work really well.
Start of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they're fading off a little bit.
They are. Well, we said that. It's a turning point.
Yeah.
A couple of rounds ago, it was a turning point where the 25 got faster, consistently faster on all tracks.
Yeah.
And then I think second half of the season, we'll continue to see that trend.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like with Marquez and that crash and the GP25, like, I just don't see any of that really happening again. And I would love to say that it is a big turning point, but then if you're still watching Digi get 17th and Bruno, you know, that's still an issue.
Yeah.
He has been pretty consistent, but you know, Alex Marquez has been crashing. Fermín Aldeguer has been slower, but he's a rookie as well. And Morbidelli's have been on a bit of a slide at the same time, but he's also had two races.
Yeah, well, Morbidelli was firmly in fourth in the championship, and then he's just faded off in the last couple of races, had a couple of silly mistakes. So,
well, the last actual two races, he was not even racing.
Yeah.
So, T-Chow's biggest surprise?
There's a lot. There's a few.
Yeah. Hit me with them.
For me, it's. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about Alex and Marquez and Jorge Martin, but for me, it's just been the Bezzecchi. Like, it really has been the biggest surprise for me. He looked done and nowhere at the start of the season.
Mm.
And he has just come back and looks like the second fastest rider at the moment in the field. He really does.
No, I totally agree with that.
So, for me, like, he has just shown it in the last... You know, it obviously changed when he won in Silverstone. He's turned it on in the last few races, but... You know, he looks really, really good. And that's been my biggest surprise is Bezzecchi's turnaround in 2025.
I really, really like that answer. And it's funny, coming from Silverstone, everyone said, you know, it's a track where anyone can win or can always throw out wacky results. And, you know, that's granted.
Yeah.
But to be consistent still after that, you know, he was right on Marquez's tail in Assen. I've said it the past quite a few weeks, like, he's been my favorite.
Mm.
He's been my favorite to watch just for that turnaround, what he's doing on the Aprilia and not giving up on it. So I like that. I like that a lot. Mine's obviously Alex Marquez. It has to be the biggest surprise because no one saw this coming. You know, he was fast and testing at the start of the year. He was fast and testing the year before. We understand that. But then to get all those seconds in a row, get that win in Jerez, and just still be consistently fast. Like, he is there fighting for a podium every single race.
Mm.
Still made some mistakes, but he's still second in the world championship. No one would have picked all that.
No.
No one would have picked 10,
no.
10 seconds
fast,
in a row.
I saw him fast in testing,
yeah.
And everyone goes, he's had, you know, but, you know, he's on a familiar bike. Yeah. So, you know, he's, and we know how good that 24 is. You know, he hasn't got to learn too many things. And then bang, you know, just that round one comes out, finishes second convincingly in front of Bagnaia. Super surprised.
Look, he's normally a yo-yo, Alex Marquez on that Gresini, where he'll have a round where he might, you know, he'll get a sprint podium and a top five in the main race, something like that. And then he'll be 8th, 10th, 12th, whatever it is.
Mm.
But this year, he's just been so consistent. He's made a few silly mistakes, like he took out Juan Mir, the world's unluckiest sportsman ever to ever live. But yeah, it's definitely, you got to say, you can't not mention Alex Marquez. And then obviously the biggest surprise, secondly for me, is the Jorge Martin Aprilia saga. I know we've spoken about it a lot, but no one saw this coming. No one saw the injury. No one saw the re-injury. And then no one saw the, you know, this whole contract saga and going to Honda and, you know, this performance clause and all that, all this stuff. No one saw any of this happen.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw the news break that, you know, he wanted out of the contract, so to speak, I'm like, that's just fake news. I mean, it can't be. Like, he's been sitting on the sidelines and, you know, all his crashes were his fault. I mean, yeah. Getting hit up the bum in Qatar, you know, arguably it's super, you know, but he's fighting for like, what, 11th or 12th at that stage, or maybe 8th or 9th. Like, it didn't matter.
Mm.
Just stay on the bike, get the laps up. You didn't, you know, just, you know, he got unlucky, but just stay on the bike. And those crashing testing on those cold tyres, I mean, it's inexcusable. It really is. So, for me, he's made the right decision in the end.
For sure.
I don't know whether it was a financial decision or was it from the heart, but, well, I don't think we'll ever know. But going forward, seeing Bezecchi on that bike, they are going to be a strength next year. So
I think so. And they can be a strength this year. Like, they really can.
I think the year's done for Martin.
For Martin, but he can still pull podiums at the end of the year. He had a really good Bruno.
Yeah.
Quick
to change your thoughts on that one.
Yeah, but he did. Like, the proof was in the pudding there. Like, if he didn't have a good race... But
I was expecting like 17, 18th or something.
Yeah, he got top 10s.
Amazing.
In not mixed conditions, nothing. Yeah. Obviously, it was a weird weekend, but, you know, he's still, again, credit.
Probably a really good track to come back on because everyone is new to it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it was probably the perfect track to start his career back up again, so to speak.
Speaking of the man, do you see Jorge Martin win a race or podium this year?
Yeah, no, I see him podium. Yeah, I said that. From the start. I reckon Australia... That's for me.
Yeah,
that's going to be
a great call.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting. And if Marquez does wrap the championship up, you know, weeks before that, it's going to be something to look forward to, and it's going to be something that's interesting going to the end of the season.
It does give it another
dimension.
Yeah, it does. It does. It really does. Yeah. So it's going to be a very good one to watch out for.
All right, round 5, Le Mans. Zarco. I mean, it was just a dream, wasn't it?
The round of the tooth.
The round of the big one tooth. So, getting that win, wet conditions. It was, you know, ending Ducati's win streak as well. I mean, it was many, many a Grand Prix. Yeah. So, the first French win at Le Mans in over 70 years. I mean, it was amazing scenes, and they'll relive that. He's going to relive that for his life. I mean, to have his parents there. He's not the kind of dude that, you know, gets that emotional, gets that happy, or gets that sad. He's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
So, you know, for him in tears, and obviously Aldeguer getting that shock podium as well, that's amazing for him. And then to Marquez to just get at home, really. You know, he's muscled at home.
I think that's... He had... Zarco had like an 8-second lead, and you could see Marquez push.
Yes.
Push. He just couldn't get it down, and he said this. And then you got to remember, he crashed. He crashed it in the previous two races in Spain and in Qatar. So in such tricky conditions, and then he's like, I'm just going to take second, take 20 points. Alex Marquez crashed that round as well. You know, obviously his biggest title threat with Bagnaia. So, and I think Bagnaia crashed in almost both races. It so, Zarco doing that, and then it was a grace. It was one of the best scenes in motorsport you're ever going to see. And I don't think anyone was mad at that.
No, I agree. I think it was great for the sport. They had the biggest crowd ever.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a world's colliding, which was great. You know, it was really, really cool to see.
Very, very cool. I wonder if Quartararo was very jealous.
He was. Well, they said that. I mean, like, you go into that weekend, you're like, oh my God, what can Quartararo do? And then old boy Zarco pulls it out of the bag.
Amazing.
The Frenchman. So.
He's the man. And just like, bro, how crazy is like the, when they sing the Brisbane Lions theme song, Le Marseillais. Like, just how it's so patriotic.
Well,
they get so into it.
Jealousy from my end as well. I think patriotism of the French is, you know, their country is going to the shit to a certain extent at the moment. But that's what happens when you let them all in. But, you know, it's, they've still got that raw patriotism from back in from the 40s and, so on and so forth. So,
the 40s. I reckon it was earlier than that. Not fucking 40s.
That was their last big. They had to really group together at that point.
They didn't do a very good job though.
Yeah.
Round 6.
They did it.
Round 6. Silverstone. Crash heavy race saw a red flag early. T-Shavs. Bezecchi obviously won it for Aprilia. Probably the big. Well, that and Zarco has to be just the two biggest shock results so far. Marquez crashed and then the red flag happened with the world's biggest and best lifeline. Remember that? He lost the front or whatever going through that.
Stayed on it.
Yeah.
And I want to love, one of my biggest memories from this race is you were watching it on a slight delay.
Oh my God.
And you went, turned it on and rewind it. All you saw was Marquez on the ground.
Oh my God, I cracked it.
I know. And then I'm like to you, oh, like, are you watching? You're like, I'm on delay. And then, boom, he's back on the bike.
Bro.
Red flag. Which I still think's a really controversial call, but it's a real hard one because I know why they do it. Because if everyone falls off, then they can get back on the bike and restart the race. So, because if there's oil on the track or things like that. But
That does make sense when there's oil on the track. That really does. Yeah. But it wasn't, but it's just lucky. You know, to win championships, you still need luck.
Yes.
It's just, you definitely still need luck. And obviously, the biggest thing to come out of that is realistically, that should have been Quartararo's win. He had it in the bag. And then he had that was like that ride height device failure.
Yeah, I remember him on the side of the straight, back straight, and he's got his head in his arms, and you know, tears come flowing out. I mean, you never really get that close to a win. It just shows you how hard it is to win a Grand Prix.
Bro, 100%.
And then obviously Zarco finishing second on that race as well. I mean, that was huge. After, I think that might have been, was that a back to back races, the French and the Silverstone?
It might have been.
You know, just like those 2 weeks, that was creme de la creme MotoGP in 2025.
It wasn't ever. Yeah. It was very cool to see. I felt so sorry for Quartararo because he did deserve it.
Shouldn't have taken the money, but should have taken the 12 milli.
Yeah, it's fair enough, but so fair
make
enough.
Make your bed. You gotta sleep in it, Jim.
And the thing is we said, okay, you know, Yamaha's maybe coming. Quartararo is coming, but I don't think he's really did much ever since then. Like,
I think his qualifying performances have saved him this year.
It's the only thing, but he says, like, it's great, but it's not translating the race win, so why does it really matter?
Yep.
But yeah, it was just incredible to see Bez. Like, and with Bez, he obviously won, but for us, he was still on fraud watch at this point. Like, it was Quartararo, it was a wild, crazy race, and Quartararo should have won. And the jury was still out in Bez at that point.
Oh yeah, 100%. It was a shock victory.
Yeah,
it came out of nowhere. There wasn't any pace to a certain extent.
Correct.
And then ever since then, he's proved us all wrong.
And the contract saga is well and truly out by now.
Yep.
You know, Massimo Rivola was like, this week, is what the Aprilia can do.
That week is when it all broke, and then Bez wins.
Well, I broke in Le Mans.
Yes. Well, the week before. Yeah. So that week leading up to that race, it was all the controversy from that.
Yeah.
Bez comes out and wins.
I know, crazy.
Puts Aprilia back on the straight.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's a big turning point for that company, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I like that. You'll be buying a Twino again soon, I reckon, after that.
too fast. Maybe a 660 or something.
Performance of the year, T. Shavs.
Look, I mean, it's so cliche, isn't it? But the Marc Marquez from where we're about to talk to, from Aragon to now, has just been the performance of the last decade, you know?
Yeah.
So he has just turned it on and just not looked like crashing or not looked like losing.
Yeah. I haven't got that down, and I love that.
Yeah. These last four rounds, Aragon, Mugello, Netherlands, and Bruno last week, I mean, just looked unstoppable. More unstoppable than we've ever seen in the MotoGP history.
Yeah, I would say so. I'd go back to 2014 when he won the first 10, or 2019 when he dominated that season, Valentino Rossi's 2002-2003 seasons.
Yep.
You know, maybe some McDoon era, but just, yeah, at the moment, no one is laying a finger on him. You're right.
No one is laying a finger on him, and it's going to be, seems to be continuing for the second half of the season, but we'll see what happens. It's a fickle game, motorsport. Things can happen. You can fall off. You can hurt yourself. You don't know what's going on. So
it can change. And Marc Marquez is the man that knows that.
Very true.
He's the man that knows that. Mine is, you've touched on it before, but I think the performance of the year so far is Bez getting his mojo back with Aprilia. I know we've just spoken about it, but I just think I really did write this guy off, put him on fraud watch, and for him, and then everything with Aprilia and the contract saga of Jorge Martin, the reigning world champion, the whole project just going onto the shoulders of him, and we said that this is his time to shine. Like, he can lead this, and they've had development on the Aprilia. You know, even Trackhouse is doing better with Rael Fernandez. Like, Marco Bezzecchi for me is a standout. Obviously, Mark, take Mark away, but he's a standout for me. I think just all credit to him, and I can't sing highly enough his praises.
Credit where credit's due.
And the second for me is just the race in Mugello, the battle with Marc Marquez, and that battle and that whole weekend. You know, getting booed by the Italians at one of his bogey tracks, and then going 1-1, having that battle of Bagnaia, doing that, the pressure would have been pretty immense. I just thought, you know, that's ice cold. Yep. Very ice cold weekend.
Mm.
You like that?
I do. I do. Then we've got, we move on to Aragon. So yeah, as we just touched on, Mark Marquez was just unstoppable. I mean, he led every single session.
Yeah.
You know, from P1 to practice, qualifying, you know, obviously all through qualifying, both the sprint and main race. So, I mean, just crazy. So, for me, it was probably one of the more dominant victories of the year. They just had no answers, did they?
It was always going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and Mark Marquez just extends his lead in the championship. So, Alex was thereabouts. I mean, he was, you know, he was pretty much, I think, second and third. I think Bagnaia were, and from Bagnaia and Alex were from memory. So, but yeah, cool circuit. I really like Aragon. Back in that different style, time of the year this year. Yeah. So, really enjoyed it. But, you know, he's just too good, James. He's just too good.
Yeah, and he dominated last year in Aragon and Gresini. And, like, he just came in knowing he was just going to...
Oh, that was just crazy.
He probably just mentally had everyone beat before they even turned the wheel.
Yeah.
They just knew. And, you know, Bagnaia and all these other guys, Digia and Morbidelli must look at Marquez's data on any track, but at Aragon think, how the fuck does he do that? Like, they must just look at it and go, yeah, I can read it, but I just can't do it. Like, yeah. And that must be deflating in itself. Because there's your map on how to do it, but you can't do it.
Yeah, you just got to remember he's still human, still makes mistakes.
Yeah, definitely. But
yeah, he's just on a normal day, dry day, you know, no issues with, like, Silverstone was a bit of an outlier with the condition of the circuit just not suiting the Ducati, but he's just unbeatable. He really is.
Yeah. We'd like to talk about more riders, but every fucking race we're going through is my Mark Marquez. Well,
we just got to read the stat sheet, don't we? We can't make up stats.
No, you can't. Round 8, obviously, Mugello. Mark Marquez had, I think, his best weekend of the year, winning the sprint and the main race, fighting Bagnaia. Bagnaia came out and said, you know, this is, he has to win this. If he's going to win the title, he has to win this. He obviously fell off the podium and Digia got third. Alex got second and Mark obviously won that in, you know, a great battle in that that main race for the first 5-10 laps. It was the best battle of the year, definitely. Yeah. With him, Alex, and Bagnaia. But they just couldn't keep the pace. Bagnaia, unfortunately. And it would have been great to see him win. It really would have been. But he just couldn't keep the pace. Digia ended up getting him. And
I really thought this was going to be a turning point for Digia.
Yeah, 100%.
And he hasn't done much the last two rounds. So, yeah. It might be just weekends that don't suit him, the tracks. I mean, obviously that was what it was in Bruno. I mean, he wasn't injured. He wasn't they're all got niggling little injuries, but he wasn't carrying anything major. So that's going to be the big, if we haven't talked about this yet, but the biggest fraud possibility going to the second half of the season has to be Digia right up there. So if he doesn't improve.
Yeah, nah, definitely not wrong. So, I just think it was just an incredible performance by Mark, where it was a very, I don't want to say turning point, but it was just like, okay, the championship. For me, the championship was done round 8 of Mugello. If Bagnaia is not winning it from there, then I just don't see it happening.
All right, tell me, James, our most anticipated, talked about segment on our show has to be the fraud.
Fraud of the year for Ford me. Watch. Fraud of the year so far for me is I'm actually going to go the Yamaha Motor Company.
Wow. Oh, as a whole.
Yeah.
As a whole.
As a whole.
In Yamaha, Japan.
Yeah, exactly. I am, because they promised a lot in testing and I really thought they could have just closed the gap. Now, I'm not expecting them to win races, but they've got one of the most talented riders on the grid, maybe the second most talented rider on the grid, and they're just... I think as the season's progressed, everyone's moving ahead of them just further. Like, they're just going backwards, or they're just staying stagnant, and everyone's moving forward.
Yeah, everyone's moving forward at a more rapid rate.
Correct. You know, and I feel sorry for Quartararo. Like, he's doing everything he can. Obviously, he should have won Silverstone. I get that. You know, and like at the start of the year, even Jack had some good results. I think he was like fifth in Thailand and had a good start to the year. And Miguel Oliveira has been kind of nowhere. He's been injured. I get that. But, you know, Rins has been nowhere. but they definitely need that V4. Like, that's it. That's done. Like, they
what
need
I don't
V4.
Understand with Yamaha is, yes, they're bringing out this new V4 engine next year, but then the whole regs change for 27. So are they going to carry that V4 with the 800 CCs, or are they going to go down that route? Is that being talked about yet?
Wait, what's that? Sorry?
Obviously, the 27 rule regs coming through. Are they going to continue with the V4 into that era?
Yeah.
So how do they just wipe off 200 CCs of engine? Like, how does that work?
I don't know, bro. You're asking the wrong guy there. They just cut fucking...
Cut a little bit of engine block out of it?
They cut 20% out of it.
Yeah, I just think they're... I just think they're just... They're crawling over the line for these new regs. Yeah, the V4 is going to help, but it's not going to change everything.
Yeah, Augusto Fernandez has ridden the new V4 and says it's so much better. It's amazing. Quartararo is just itching to ride it.
Fucking hurry up. Get it going.
Augusto Fernandez comes out and says, I don't want to ride the inline 4 anymore. It's done. Like, I have no interest in riding that bike.
Good.
So, look, there is good signs out there. But for Yamaha, like, they showed a little bit at the start of the year and testing. But they need to be doing better than what they are. Because I think they are the worst bike on the grid.
What is the difference with a V4? Is it different weight distribution on the bike or...?
It's a different power delivery.
Okay.
It's definitely a different power
delivery. Which changes everything. Changes, obviously, your traction out of the corners and obviously cornering speed, that sort of thing. So, gotcha. Yeah.
And like, you know...
I'm asking the hard questions, sorry, but I'm generally interested.
No, and the Yamahas, like, they've always been great at turning. They've always been awesome at turning. But, you know, it's more of a point and shoot sport.
Yeah.
It's definitely more of a
point and shoot. Oh, it is, definitely, yeah. And you can see that the difference of the riding techniques over the years. I mean... They're really like taking these corners like big triangles now.
Yeah.
You know, they're not sweeping around the corners. They're braking and then sort of getting it up on its
fast as you can.
Fat part of the tire as fast as you can. A classic example of that is like the last corner at Mugello. They really take that out wide now and then cut through the inside. So
that's a great point. What about you?
Fraud of the year?
Yeah.
Look, there's heaps. I mean, Bastianini was, for me, fraud, fucking king fraud. But then he had a great... Bruno. So, but again, that's the whole thing with fraud watch. Like, he showed glimpses.
Yeah.
And I've never been on this guy. I don't think this guy has it.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He's great with tires. Yes, he's, you know, he qualifies fairly well, but he just doesn't have the pace when it means at the start of the race. And for me, he's been the fraud of the year. So,
yeah.
Harsh, I know, harsh. But there's, I mean, some obvious ones out there as well. But for me, it's just, I've always been a stickler for him, James. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You've never rated him just, for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, got aura, sexy fella, good looking, you know, carries it around the paddock well, but yeah, just doesn't do it for me.
Well, it was interesting for Bruno because he said he was quick there because he had no reference point. He didn't have a reference point with Ducati, with hitting braking markers, whatever it is.
You just got to move forward, though. It can't be, oh my God, the Ducati used to do this, Ducati used to do that. Like, get over it, man. You're not with the Ducati anymore. Stop comparing the bike to the Ducati. Like, oh, I can't ride Mugello because the Ducati was better around there. Just use the tools that you have. I mean, it's just crazy. I was riding really well there because I didn't have a reference. How shitty are you as a rider if you can't fucking just change your technique for the new bike. I mean, Jesus Christ. This is the best guys over the years have just changed with time. Like Rossi going from, you know, your different manufacturers.
Honda to Yamaha.
Marquez from Honda to Ducati. I mean, they've just found a way.
Yeah.
The best have, and he's not. He's not the best. And I know no one knows he's the best, but, you know, for me, it's just, lackluster performances all year.
So you'd rather Maverick Vinales on that bike?
100%.
I like it.
Unblock us, please.
He's never going to unblock us, mate.
Mm. I wonder how big the blocked list on his socials
huge.
Is. Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, didn't Australian Grand Prix Corp post something of him the other day and then tagged his fan page because they blocked?
Maybe. George, I have to go on, like, a burner account for, I'm not going to say what account that is. I have to go on a burner account to look at it, Maverick Vinales, because we were all blocked. So, Mav, I'm still seeing what you're doing.
Even our personal accounts are blocked.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah. So. Even Motor Heaven's blocked. Poor old Motor Heaven's blocked. Seriously, Motor Heaven's blocked.
Wow, that is crazy. Because the blockage was before Motor Heaven came to us.
No, it was after.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
It was after, but they all just, they just got in the firing line.
Innocent bystanders.
They were. They definitely were. Should Pedro Acosta be doing better?
Oh, I think it's hard. I mean, it's been so unsettling, isn't it, with KDM? And there's still going to be a lack of performance because there's a lack of new parts. There's a lack of development of the bike. We know this with no cash flow coming through. So I think anything towards KTM, it's harsh. Like I said with Bastianini, it's harsh because the development of the bike. But there's been glimpses of performances. Vinales in Qatar was really good. But I think Acosta's been a six in the championship from memory. I think that's a pass mark for me. Even though from week to week, I feel like he hasn't performed that well. Yeah. But he's been consistent. Seventh in the championship.
Consistent at being seventh, sixth, fifth, eighth.
Which when you have six Ducatis on the grid, I don't think it's a bad thing. You've got to remember how good this Ducati is.
Next round, mate. Despite a tough weekend,
where are we?
We're at the Netherlands.
Oh yeah,
Assen. We're at Assen
TT,
the Cathedral of Speed. Marquez had some massive crashes in practice, huge crashes. I think Aiguro blew his Aprilia up as well, but he went to go one Juan again. Bezzecchi, this is where Bezzecchi, he's thereabouts, got second behind Mark, and only like 1.7 seconds off. We know Mark had more in the tank, but
well, yeah, he had also the bloody tire issue that round as well. Yeah. And again, this has just been a problem going forward, hasn't it, with these tire pressures? So yeah, for me, it's it just continued his dominance, didn't he? Great track. And look, James, I had a lot of messages after my top five tracks that Assen should have been on there. So it's a great track.
It is
great undulation through the corners.
Yeah. Great sweepers, so fast. Great, and it makes great footage. But obviously Marquez still won that race. It was the ultimate race for Marc Marquez, where he just still had 3/10 more in the back. He was just
Bezzecchi was just never getting past
it. It was never gonna allow it happen.
No.
Get into that chicane. No. He looked racy, but it was just never ever gonna allow it to happen. And I'm telling you, Marquez was just riding within his limits that race.
Yeah, 100%.
Bagnaia got third, just cockroach. Always just somehow lands on the podium. It's amazing. That was Assen. Like, it was a different round for Mark, as in those two massive crashes. We all kind of thought, like, whenever Mark crashes, everyone's like, oh, his arm, like, what's it going to be like? But they come back and then, again, another pivotal round and then go 1-1 again. Like, it's just, just shows how good he is. Now, next round is Germany. This list doesn't have Germany. So I wanted to cut you off real quick.
Oh, thanks, James. It was you threw that in there just to throw me, didn't
you? Yeah, exactly.
Sachsenring, I mean, what more to say? He comes back to arguably his most loved track, left-hand is central.
Yeah, King of the Ring.
King of the Ring, and he got presented with that ring once again. Yeah. So,
that's cool they do that.
It was really cool they did that. But that round will go down as... No one just wanted to finish second. They all start that turn one. And we touched on that during that podcast the week before. Off camber, downhill, cold tires, cold track. Yep. It just blew up in a lot of faces. Digia went down. Yep. Who else went? Alex went down.
Bezzecchi
went down. For me, turning point of the... You know, you talked about turning point of the championship. Massive turning point of the championship, you know, with Alex. So, and Mark dominating, winning. So, yeah. Really good race, though. Really good race weekend.
It's funny because on paper, Sachsenring shouldn't be good racing, but for some reason, it normally always is.
Faster average speed than...
Go on. What was it? It was like Jerez or something.
Jerez. It was a lot, you know, it's a lot faster than you think around there, so...
Well, once you get past all those tight little right-left-handers, like, it opens up. All those fast left-handers are wild.
Yeah.
And that's just Marquez, creme de la creme.
Creme de la creme.
And obviously, Diego Moreira and Moto2, shout-out, took out poor old David Alonso. It was an amazing ride and then just destroyed him.
Just up the ass, wasn't it? Crazy.
Jesus.
jumping into round... So, is that...
Next round... Bruno.
obviously fresh in our minds, wasn't it?
Yep.
So Marquez scored his fifth win in a row, overtaking Bezzecchi and controlling the pace, James. Acosta finished strong in third. Bagnaia faded again. Obviously, we'll go down with that sprint race. It was all about the tire pressures.
Yeah, what a shambles.
Shambles, wasn't it? So they both...
Absolute joke.
And it was such an unknown. What was going on? I mean, Bagnaia... We tried to let one person pass. Three people got past. I was like, what are you doing? Mark did the right thing. He just let one pass. But another just difference of, I'm not going to say skill, but just IQ, rider IQ. Yeah. And we know this with Mark Marquez. You know, Oxley is writing a book on Mark. And
yep.
the number one thing he's taken out of it is not his racing ability, it's his brain and IQ. Yeah. And that just goes down again to what happened to Bruno.
How smart he was. He just picked the right part of the track. He was 3 seconds, I believe, ahead of Acosta. And then just literally slots right in behind him. He's just on his ass the whole time. And then with a lap to go, just makes the move. Acosta couldn't do anything. And he said, see you later. I'm winning anyway.
Yeah.
And then just does the same thing. Obviously, in the main race, just dominates. Which was, again, like no shock. Absolutely no shock at all. But just destroying the field. That's usual.
It's surprised lasted this long. For me, Ducati's grip on the season just looks untouchable now, James.
Yeah.
It's just untouchable. So, Bezzecca's the only shining light for someone who can win. But, for me, it's they're just still the strongest team by a long way.
Yeah, definitely. And look, another big championship points haul, though, with Marc Márquez, because Alex Márquez took out Wami.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Fucking wild.
Yeah, crazy.
So, look, that's the first 11 rounds of MotoGP. And look, it's been a one-man show. We know that. But the racing, I don't know. I still find it exciting, Tom. Like, I still find it exciting. I don't think the racing has been terrible.
Yeah, I think the racing was still probably better last year. But, I mean, we're only halfway through the season, we have to remember. We've still got 11 rounds to go. So, it's going to be some exciting rounds coming up with a new Hungary track as well, which looks like a cool track. That's going to be exciting to see. And then the flyaways. I mean, for us, we're going to be at Phillip Island. We're going to fly to Malaysia. We've got so much fun, coming up, for a lack of a better term.
I want to know, Tom, which team / rider has overperformed so far this year? Overperformed.
Okay. Which rider has overperformed?
Or team?
Castrol Honda, really?
Zarco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just shown everyone else that this Honda has got some DNA that's going to be a good bike. No one else has showed much.
Juan Mir, I'm sticking on his back. He's crashed out of six like fucking five times.
The other thing with Juan Mir, yes, he's been taken out a couple of times, but he has gone down, lost that front end a lot more times than he's been taken out. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, you're right.
So, for me...
100% you're right, yeah.
For me, it's he's still not performing, he's still going to be up there, and yes, he still keeps making mistakes. Who do you think?
Alex Márquez.
Yeah.
Alex Márquez easily overperforms. Like, no one expected him to be in the top five of the championship, and he's... easily in second place, but
does it just show you, James, how good that Ducati 24 is?
It does, and it definitely does. But you still got to ride that bike, and you still got to put it in the right spots.
No, granted, I totally agree. It's just it is incredible that
it's perfection, probably of a motorcycle.
Oh almost. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, it's he's been a mediocre rider for his career in MotoGP. Great in the lower classes, but to come out and then just to outperform the likes of Bagnaia even consistently on similar machinery, it is a bigger surprise, as you touched on.
Last question for you is, has the new concession systems helped Yamaha and Honda enough?
It's hard. I'm going to say it did, but it seems to be they're dropping off slowly through the last three Grand Prix.
Yeah, like I think ever since probably Aragon or Mugello, the Japanese manufacturers, like they had stinkers there, and I don't really think they've kind of caught up.
Yeah, I think KTM have been performing well in the last couple of rounds, and that obviously, if they're performing well, that means they're down another four spots.
Yeah.
And then you've got Bezzecchi going really well as well. So,
and Raul Fernandez, bro, you got a fifth last round.
100%. Yeah. So, look, someone's got to finish 10th to 20th.
I know, which is wild.
So, They might still be going 10, 20 seconds faster per race than last year, but everyone else is going even better. So
I just don't think much is going to happen until the new regs.
Yeah.
I really just don't think it. But Honda's throwing everything at it as we expected.
All right, James. Let's jump on to comparisons.
Yeah. So what are we doing?
So we predicted our top 22 at the start of the season, our rookie of the year, our flop of the year, our most improved and our team champion.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to worry about the team champion because that was pretty obvious. But let's talk about rookie of the year. So, James, you had Mr. Furman Aldergare, which at the start of the season looked like a rough pick because I picked Iagura.
Yeah.
And he came out unbelievably.
Yeah.
And took fifth place in Thailand and looked amazing. So,
and yeah, I think he got fourth on the sprints as well.
But what's the point tally?
All right. So, we've got Mr. Where the fuck is Iagura? Iagura is 16th on 51 points.
Yep.
And we've got Furman Aldergare 10th on 97.
So, points. Yeah, pretty much double the points and yeah, convincingly winning that Rookie of the Year, isn't he?
Yeah, and look, I put Furman Aldergare winning that Rookie of the Year basically because he's on a Ducati.
Yeah.
But he's adapted to the Ducati amazingly. And look, you know what? They both have. Like, I still give them both pass marks. Like, Iagura has done awesome on Aprilia. That Aprilia has improved during the season, just like what Bezzecchi's done on a very interrupted season, obviously, with the whole Jorge Martin. So, you lose testing. You lose data out of that as well. Like, it's a big hole to have. So, yeah. I think Iagura still had a great season. I think he's missed a race or two with injury, which does happen a lot with rookies. But Furman Aldergare has just been faster. Like, he's had podiums. He's had sprint podiums. He's been quick. You know, he's had a bit of a lull in the last few rounds, which rookies do, and everyone else kind of catches up. But, yeah, Furman Aldergare is just adapting to that Ducati nicely and as a rookie should. But I wouldn't be ashamed if I'm Iagura. I really wouldn't.
No, I don't think. I think they're both performing really well. I think Iagura has had some bad luck, also some big crashes as well in the last five rounds. So hopefully he'll come back strong.
Yep.
Our flop of the year. We were on similar wavelengths with this one. James, you went with Tech 3 KTM.
Yep.
And I sort of itemized that and said, Enea Bastianini.
Well, look, I guess we're right to a degree. Like Tech 3 KTM came out and they were fucking nowhere in Buriram. Remember we saw Maverick Vinales shaking his head? They were nowhere.
But oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
They are finding their feet. They are finding their feet a little bit, Tech 3 KTM.
Who do you think has been the flop of the year? Please take Chancer out of that. I think Alex Rins has been, it's almost embarrassing at this point. Juan Mir was harsh because he's been taken out a few times. So I'm not going to say a flop.
I'm going to go Brad Binder.
Yeah.
There's been no signs of anything like podium pace, getting onto the podium, race winning pace, qualifying on the front row. Like there's just been no glimpses.
And for him to be third out of those KTMs as well, he should be up there with Acosta. He's so used to that bike. He's been with the team for so many years.
Yeah.
And to be outperformed by Vinales, I think is pretty shocking.
And Vinales has missed a couple races, or at least a race. So, I think Brad Binder, I hate to say it, but I think he's the one that's just kind of not shown anything. Like, Raul Fernandez has shown glimpses. Like, Iagura has shown glimpses. Bastianini's got a podium, or a sprint podium, whatever it is. Like, you know, Jorge Martin comes back and gets points out of not riding an Aprilia. Like there's just hasn't been a glimpse, any glimpse, unfortunately, for Brad Binder.
All right. So, Mr. James, I should say, first of all, most improved for 2025.
Oh, God, who did I put
that? Monster Yamaha.
Oh, shit, that's wrong.
And I went for VR46.
Yeah.
And I think both wrong. And I think if we had Alex Marquez in there, I think we would have been right. So, I think Alex Marquez has to be up there with most improved.
Yeah.
Raul Fernandez maybe as well.
Yeah, VR46 is still at a pretty half-right season. They're 6th and 7th. I guess they're on Ducati, so they should be there.
Yeah, so it's not, it wouldn't go into the most improved category.
Nah, you're right.
I'm thinking they might be 3rd and 4th in the championship. You know, at the start of the season.
Or 4th and 5th, 5th and 6th. You know what? Raul Fernandez is a fucking great goal.
Oh, look, I think we all said, why is he on this bike?
Yeah.
And I think they've stayed true with him. And they obviously see something in him. And for him to, you know, finish 5th in the last race, he's got something there. There's some spark. There's not a Tito Rabat, you know, situation. It's, you know, he's showing something. So,
bro, he's 2 points behind Brad Binder. I would almost say Maverick Vinales as well. would almost say Maverick Vinales. I think he's doing. It's hard because he's an older rider, but he's doing a lot on that KDM.
All right, so our top five. James, you went for Marc Marquez first.
Yep.
Pecco Bagnaia second.
Yep.
Jorge Martin third. Fabio Quartararo fourth. And Marco Bezzecchi fifth.
Oh, yeah, Bez fifth. He's fourth. So what do we got in comparison? It's Marc Marquez, Alex Marquez second, Bagnaia third, Bezzecchi fourth, and Digia fifth.
Yes. I had Marc Marquez, Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, same top three.
Yeah.
Pedro Acosta fourth.
Whoa.
And Fabio D'Agostino fifth.
Oh, you picked that one.
So, yeah.
Well, we all definitely got Marc Marquez right.
We all got Marc Marquez right. We did. So, yeah. I had Alex Marquez seventh. You had Alex Marquez eighth. Our bottom three looked a lot different. You had Luca Marini 20th, Raul Fernandez 21st,
yeah, right,
and
yeah.
Somkat Chantra 22nd. I had Juan Mir 20th, Luca Marini 21st, and then Chantra 22nd.
Oh, we got Chantra right. That was an easy
so
one.
So we might have been a little bit harsh on the factory Honda boys.
Last and first we got.
Yes.
Easy money.
Well, that's what they pay us for, James. That's what they pay us for.
Yeah, definitely we're wrong with Alex Marquez and Biff Bagnaia and obviously Jorge Martin. Like, geez.
Yeah, so, I probably, looking at my stats, probably Bezzecchi. I had him ninth, so I was a little bit harsh on him. But yeah, it's. I thought Morbidelli was going to have a good year, and obviously we're still halfway through. We'll re-look at these at the end of the year and have a bit more of a detailed look at the full 22.
Mm.
But halfway through, we got first and last right, so...
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
And that's going to stay the same.
Yes.
That ain't changing.
It changes.
That ain't changing.
All right, let's go hot takes, Jimmy boy.
Yep, hot takes. Thank you, everyone, for sending them in at charlie.binchet08. Alex Marquez is going to finish fourth in the championship despite his class so far this year.
I don't think that's a bad shot. I really don't. I mean, I know he's, 40 points, 50 points ahead.
Well, he's 100 points of fourth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over 100 points.
But it's not a bad shout because Bezzecchi, if he keeps going and going and going, Alex makes some silly mistakes. 37 points a weekend. Yeah.
Bagnaia is always going to be there somewhere.
Oh, Bagnaia is there or thereabouts, yeah. But Bezzecchi coming back through. Oh,
huge call. Huge call. At path.joshy05, obviously a Peter Brock fan. No one is winning another championship in the next 4 years if Marquez isn't injured. And I agree.
Yeah, I think so.
I agree. I just, unless something drastic happens in these new regs, at least in the next two, there is no one touching Marc Marquez at all. He is just going to keep this domination until he beats Valentino Rossi's record, at least.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Totally agree. And it's got to be something about that record, doesn't it? With Rossi.
Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about the race wins. He just gives a shit about the championships. And he's basically just come out and said that. So,
you know what's crazy about that stat, James? Who is next going to even get close to that?
To championships?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be 30, 40 years.
I know, but we've probably said that about Valentino and then Mark came along.
Mm.
So it's a hard... Bro, I know. It's crazy. You just don't see it often. No. You saw Mick in the 90s, five, and then Valentino and then Mark, like, but it doesn't happen often. Like Jorge Lorenzo, incredible rider, and he's got three.
Mm.
Rider GP titles. Mm. JM90 underscore racing. There will be two Yamahas in the top five next season. Maybe okay. The season after, but not next season.
V4 is going to be that good, is it? Wait and see.
Just don't.
JM might be onto it. We don't know.
I like the hot take, but I just... Yeah, I'll probably... You know what? A Quartararo is going to be in there, but I don't think a top rack or a fucking... Whoever else is on that bike is going to be there, that's for sure. At Sean Cody, if Martin didn't have all those crashes, him and Mark would be close for the title. Now, it may be closer for the world title, but Mark will still be winning it convincingly.
Yeah, I think convincingly still.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, yes, it would have. He might have had a couple of wins taken off. The pressure might have been mounting even more. But in the last five, he's won five in a row, and it's just, you know, five doubles. So
yeah, I just don't. I just Maybe our team might have won a race or two, maybe. Yeah. But
not like 10-point difference or anything like that.
Nah, it'd still be 50, I reckon.
Yeah.
At least. I just, you know, I don't say it. I really don't.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
It is. IM_AshuToshB. Fabio Quartararo will be on a factory Ducati in 2027. New regs.
Okay, yes.
It's a scary thing, though, because you just don't know what these new regs are going to be like for these bikes.
I don't think it's going to change things much.
Yeah, okay.
From my personal experience. I think the best will still be the best. I think Ducati will still be up there. I don't see, like, a Yamaha coming up and dominating or anything like that. Even I just don't see that happening.
It's not like Formula One where that happens, but in 2007, when they went from the 990s to the 800s, Ducati, you know, amazing of Casey Stoner, and Honda, of all people, fluffed those regs.
Yeah.
And Yamaha didn't have any
speed
either.
That Ducati's always got an asterisk against it, though, because he could only make it work, that one rider, realistically.
Yeah.
No one else was fast on that bike.
Correct. That's a very good point. A very good point, actually. He was the only one to make that Ducati work until, you know, Andrea Dovizioso and Pecco Bagnaia.
Exactly.
Come at me, everyone. He knows why he's laughing. Come at me. At Will Stone, 1995, 21, which means obviously Morbidelli is crazy lucky to seemingly have no threat to his VR46 ride, especially with Acosta.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think he is crazy lucky.
Crazy lucky, but I don't think he's going to be on that bike next year.
I'm pretty certain he's on that bike next year. That's what I'm saying. Like, they have already said they've spoken to Acosta and they're going with Morbidelli.
Oh, I stand corrected if that's the case.
Yeah.
But what about, like...
Why wouldn't you choose Pedro Acosta over Franco Morbidelli?
It's crazy. You're going to miss this kid, you know?
Crazy. And, okay, Franco Morbidelli's had a pretty good season. He's been injured and he's, what, 6th in the world title and was 4th. Like, he's had a pretty good season. A lot better than I probably thought he would, but... If you've got someone like a Pedro Acosta that could go on a Ducati for your brand.
But what about this whole thing about he was a Marquez fan as a kid and then magically now he's a Rossi fan as a kid. Like, how does that work? How do you change that to meet the criteria? He's obviously spoken to VR46.
Yeah. They've come out. What's his name? Marquez? Uccio has come out and said that they had a meeting with him.
Yeah. Don't know. There's still a little bit more to play out there.
Nah, I don't. I think it's done. Matt Stevens, OG fan, biggest fraud, Mark Marquez for not winning every single race.
OG fan.
That's our fans' butt for you right there. Yeah. It's rage baiting.
Yeah.
Absolutely rage baiting. Nah, I love it. Yeah, that's just funny.
OG fan, Matt Stevens. I'm gonna clip that from last week's pod.
Did I really say it that funny?
OG fan.
That should be all we have, unless we had some new ones come in.
That's all we got time for, folks.
At Shamu11SW, Binder never had a place in the Premier class, only ever won on a chance or that odd season.
Oh, it's harsh. It's harsh. As I said last week, James, we've got short memories, such short memories. Like, you know, he won that miracle Austria race, we know that. But then he won Valencia on a KTM as well that year when Miller finished second. So
did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, right. Mm. Fucking hell. Yeah, look, he's just the product of KTM, unfortunately.
Yes.
He's the product of KTM. Again, I've always said it. I would love to see him on another bike. Like, his time's run out on KTM.
He was brought up in an Austrian factory, but then it ran out of money.
Yeah, it did.
That's what happened.
Our boy at NikkiD3604, T-Shavs. If Bez keeps the momentum, he could be second in the championship by Valencia. Great call. You kind of just spoke about that, and he definitely could be.
Mm. Well, that's the half year as it was, James.
Yep.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure, the first half of the MotoGP season.
Dominant season.
It's been fun and exciting. I think we have a lot to come in this second half of the season. Really, really, really looking forward to it. Yep. So, next week we are back.
Yep.
Where are we?
don't know, because we're filming 3 weeks early.
We'll be back next week with a MotoGP podcast. So looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Speak soon. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.